huge crowd out here, Steve. Huge.
Where is it? Hand me those shirts.
You're the man, Jerry.
Good. Okay, buddy. Here we go, buddy. Well, this feels good in here with this good crowd.
Great crowd. Great crowd.
There's only one owner in the National Football League who has fans chanting his name. There's only one owner who signs dollar bills and does the rounds before a game posing for photographs with adoring fans. And there's only one, Jerry Jones. In the third episode of Hard Knocks, we get a closer look at Jerry, the football palace that he's built in Frisco, Texas, and the team that he hopes brings Dallas back to football glory. There's a lot of nostalgia in this episode. Footage of Jerry from when he first bought the team in the late 80s, visuals of Drew Pearson and Randy White's jersey numbers, and a realization that Jerry Jones is not getting any younger, and those memories of Troy and Emmett and Irv and Jimmy and those three Super Bowl titles, well, they are becoming more and more distant as the years go by. We're going down memory lane on our podcast, too, right to the heart of it, really, with the fullback on those Cowboys teams, a guy who not only played for Dallas, but still lives there in the area and still calls their preseason games. Moose Johnston is our guest for this week's podcast, and he is awesome. But before we get to Moose, we need to talk about the freaking drone shot. Welcome to the Hard Knocks podcast, a joint production of HBO Sports and NFL Media. My name is Peter Schrager, and on Monday to Friday, I am the host of NFL Network's Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football. But through the final episode in a few weeks, I am hosting this podcast, giving a more in-depth insider recap of the Hard Knocks episodes that were. Episode 3 is this week, and oh baby, the drone shot. Twitter went absolutely nuts over it when it aired, and rightfully so. You want that Goodfellas tracking shot through the Copacabana kitchen, or that movie Birdman from a few years ago? Fine, you can have that. Give me the 4-minute cinematic thrill ride across the 91-acre football palace known as the Star in Frisco, Texas, that NFL Films and HBO Sports provided for us at the very start of the third episode of Hard Knocks. It's breathtaking, and really, it's everything Steve Sable would have ever dreamed of had he still been with us today. A combination of cinematic beauty, storytelling without words, technological majesty, and pure access. You see, we are flying along with a drone to start the episode, and we see everything that 91-acre football cathedral has to offer. A high-end Mexican restaurant in the beginning of the drone ride, right through a yoga class on the front lawn, a car dealership, a world-class weight room, and the best darn football facility and stadium that billions of dollars can buy. It's a breathtaking 4 minutes. And the cinephile in me had to reach out to see just who was in charge, what it took, and how it got done. The shot, which immediately goes in to the Hard Knocks Hall of Fame, was directed by a gentleman at NFL Films named Jason Weber. I reached out to Weber on Tuesday, and he told me this was no easy task to execute, but he was thrilled with the final product, and he should be. It was awesome. Mike Welsh and Drew Taylor from a company called Sky Candy Studios, with the help from Jeremy Nieves of the NFL Films camera department and Mike Rinnan of the NFL Films visual effects group, all combined forces for this 4-minute shot using a drone. They used a small first-person view known as an FPV in the camera community, and it's a drone that was made by a company called Cinewhoop. This drone had a GoPro attached to it. And you see, the folks at the Star, they gave that film crew 3 hours. 3 hours, that's what you got, 3 hours. It's a relatively tight window because they actually had to start prepping the indoor field for a boxing match that would take place later that night. So Weber writes to me in an email. He says, quote, "We did about 15 takes with various levels of success. The take that actually made the show with the drone flying through the truck, well, that was the last take. And the only time we tried that move, The operator nailed it in one take. Pretty cool, Jason Weber. Pretty cool, NFL Films. Pretty cool, HBO Sports. It's a tour de force and a hell of a way to start the episode. The drone shot steals the episode, and once we establish a sense of place and the where, we can now go towards the who. And it took three episodes to get there, but Hard Knocks finally brought Amari Cooper into the forefront this week. Cooper is a soft-spoken superstar. I've gotten to know him over the years. He doesn't say many words. A former top five overall pick of the Oakland Raiders, he's had a great NFL career, and the past 3 years has been the number one wideout on the Dallas Cowboys. But as we inch towards the start of the regular season, he's been injured. And his teammate, CeeDee Lamb, who's younger, taller, perhaps more explosive, perhaps more expressive, has been the guy at receiver in Cowboys camp. Amari's back, though, and whereas some veterans would potentially be threatened by the young emerging superstar at his position, it appears as though Cooper is just fine playing the mentor role to the younger Lamb. Here he is answering a question from CD, the precocious young superstar and the apple of everyone in Dallas's eye, and taking him through a few of his best moves.
So look, you work half a man, or do you work just whole man? Like, what's your thought process like when you walk up to that bitch? You know, you just...
My mindset is, what's the best way if I could go in here?
To get him over
to
here?
Make him think I'm going to get him. First one is just that one touch, too.
Right.
So
ooh,
and then, you feel me? Go back in there.
Yeah.
There's no way he's not thinking I'm going out.
Right, right. Yeah, you a fool. All right, all right.
You got the two?
Right.
One, two, but yeah. I only use that one.
Right, right. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's
three.
Nah. Three?
Yeah, the land shit is pressed.
Right.
You go there.
Right.
Or you can do it fast. You can do it fast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if I'm going outside.
I like that one.
Yeah, that one. That one.
Cooper and Lamb are very talented, maybe the best duo at their position in the entire NFL. But the Cowboys aren't going to go anywhere this season if Dak Prescott isn't healthy and on the field. You see, Dak's shoulder, it might as well be a main character this season of Hard Knocks. And head coach Mike McCarthy does his very best to be transparent with a hungry Dallas media looking for updates.
Dak's status is, continue to classify it as limited. We just really don't want to put him in a position where we can re-injure it.
So at this point, it's fair to say he won't play?
Oh, there's a good chance he probably won't play, yes. That's fair.
But we see a different side of Dak in this episode, too. We learn that he was actually an overweight kid who used to wear tight Under Armour spandex under his clothes when he was a youth. We learn that he has an appreciation for NFL history and goggle-wearing players, Chuck Muncy and Eric Dickerson. And we learn that he doesn't like people who wear costumes. What? Go on, Dak. Have your moment. Make your case.
I don't like masks.
When I was younger, I used to spoil this by people in costumes. Anybody in a costume. I'm talking about decently old, too. Probably like middle school, I still wasn't sure. No. I don't know, I just had a fucked up head. I used to think that would just be the best example or the best, like, way to injure or hurt somebody if you wanted to. You think that's that person in the costume. You don't know who the fuck that is. He's up for something. Oh, well, I never did anything haunting. I just tell my mom, that's the perfect place to kill somebody. Why would I do that? I told her that, she understood. Never made me. Y'all think it's a fake chainsaw. I don't know, I'm crazy. Before you put a blade on that bitch one day, yeah, fuck that shit. That shit's stupid.
Yes, Dak. Preach. Yes. See, I've never been a big Halloween or haunted house guy either. This week's guest is Daryl Moose Johnston, a two-time Pro Bowler, a three-time Super Bowl champion, and the fullback on all of Jerry Jones' Super Bowl teams. I spoke with Moose on Monday afternoon, a few days removed from his calling of the Cowboys-Texans preseason game in Dallas. Daryl Johnston played for the Cowboys during the glory years of the 1990s. He's been living in that market ever since. Moose, how we doing?
Good, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on, besides being an icon in Dallas and one of the great Cowboys legends, is that you were actually in the building on Saturday calling the preseason game. You do that for the local CBS affiliate in Dallas, and you had a chance to watch this team up close and personal. As we get towards the start of the regular season, and now we're kind of at the midway point of Hard Knocks, but also towards the end of the preseason, what's the state of the union here with this Cowboys team? Where are we at? Do you feel better than you did at the start of the summer, or do you feel like there's still a lot of questions to be answered?
Yeah, that's a great question, Peter. I had expectations coming in that Dan Quinn would have a big impact on the defense, but watching them Saturday night, I think it's a little bit further ahead of the curve than I expected it to be at this time. And one of the great things that he shared with me leading up to the game was he, you know him as well as all of us do. We get a chance to work with DQ. He's the best. And so he lets his guys tell him, hey, what was something that was there last year that was frustrating for you guys? And it was almost a consensus. He said, you know, coach, you know, we need more clarity. There was way too much gray. And we were thinking and we weren't playing. We weren't reacting. And one of the things that I noticed, I had him week two and week four last year. You know, sometimes there maybe wasn't as much hustle as you expected. And now you think back on that and that, well, was that the guys not hustling or were they thinking? Was it that much of an impact on the defense that you could really see it during the course of the game? So that was one of the things that he's really got cleaned up for the guys. And I think that was one of the things that jumped out for me on Saturday was how fast the guys were playing. And this is not from reducing the amount of volume that they're going to do defensively. He said that's not what we were looking to do. What we're looking to do is just make sure that if we've got something in the game plan, we've repped it, we understand it, we know how to play it. So the guys have confidence when that call comes into the huddle.
Yeah, the defense is going to be so important, and yet it all starts and ends with the quarterback and Dak Prescott. You had a chance to be there. I know you're around the team quite a bit. It's fun because we get to see this access on Hard Knocks that we don't get typically in a new cycle. And it's almost like, okay, I feel comfortable with Dak because I get to see him on Hard Knocks every Tuesday night, yet there's been nothing in the preseason games that we've seen from Dak that would give you any sort of confidence. Being around the team, how do you feel about Dak Prescott as we head towards week one and that mighty Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense awaiting them?
You know, I getting ready for the season to start. I've seen this a couple of times from guys that are having an injury situation in the preseason this year. And right away they go back to, well, I didn't play any games last year either. And look how I did. Look at the way that Dak Prescott started last year with no preseason games. I think you can always fall back on that. There's not a lot of change on the offensive side of the ball. Now, you know, from the defensive standpoint, if that was the case and you were missing a lot of reps right now with Dan Quinn coming in and putting in a new defense, yeah, there'd be concerns. But with everything kind of the same as it was last year and Dak just taking that next step, I don't think there's a lot to worry about. I do know that, you know, they've reached out to some of the baseball clubs. I think the mm-hmm. White Sox and the Yankees talked about this mm-hmm. injury and said the biggest thing is be overly cautious at the beginning, and that'll help you eliminate this be recurring throughout the course of the season. So I just think there's an abundance of caution to make sure that Dak is 100% all season long.
You know, the biggest star of the second episode of Hard Knocks this season was probably CeeDee Lamb, and we had these amazing catches and the slow motion and the cinematography is incredible. In this week's episode, we get the return of Amari Cooper. How good can these two be as a duo? And if you throw in Michael Gallup, how good could they be as a trio? I mean, it feels like the hype is there and the buzz is there. Is it real? Do you think these guys could really be the best trio in all of football?
I remember last year getting ready for that game week two against Atlanta, and all the chatter was all three of them. We're going to go over 1,000 yards. The way this offense is structured and with Dak at quarterback, I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. You know, that would be incredible. I think it's hard-pressed to find a team in the NFL that can roll out three guys like that. And it's funny what you just did, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is the forgotten guy. Before yep. CeeDee Lamb came in, they were talking about Michael Gallup being a number one with Amari Cooper. So, I mean, that shows you how much they feel about Michael Gallup as a receiver on the outside. And I just think it kind of goes back to the greatest show on turf, right? We're going to push you down in our matchups against our wide receiver group, and we're going to find that matchup that's really beneficial for us that day. And with those three going out there, they're going to stress virtually every defense they run into trying to match up down three deep on that wide receiver position without feeling really, really good about one of those.
So good. And the offense is so good. But let's get back to that defense that you mentioned with Dan Quinn and the rookie, Micah Parsons. He, too, did not play a game last year because of being cautious with the COVID. He sat out the entire college season and yet has been lights out lights out in Cowboys camp. So you were around the team. You've spoken to the coaches. You've spoken to people affiliated with the front office. What's the vibe on Micah Parsons, number 11, who has stolen our hearts on Hard Knocks with his personality and, of course, his mother cheering in the stands every week?
Yeah, sometimes it's better to be lucky than smart, right? I know that there was a lot of talk about getting that corner at number 10, a number of mock drafts that were run during the course of that leading up to the draft. I don't think anybody, I know you're a big part of this too. I don't think there was one mock draft that was run where both of those top corners were gone at number 10. So all of a sudden on draft day, something pops up and Dallas did a great job. They trade back, they get an extra pick, and then they end up with Micah Parsons. And I think that everybody's really, really happy with what he's doing. Now, you know, one of those corners, you can sit there and worry about what, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
But I think what they've done is focus on a unique athlete that they have now. And Dan Quinn called him the best, one of the best blitzers he's ever been around. And, wow. And I think we saw some of that Saturday night. The ability to walk up on a center and not just occupy him, but challenge him and stress him. We saw some of the twists. He's smart enough. He knows how to occupy. I'm going to make this move to the inside. When you come to step with me, I'm going to get a hold of you. The umpire is not going to be able to see it, but my guy's coming clean, you know, on the twist coming the other way. So I think it's going to be fun to see what they do with him inside that front seven, whether he's coming off the edge, whether he's walking up in the guard center guard area, coming from depth. That was one of the things that Dan Quinn said. He goes, he is such a good blitzer, and we're going to be able to do it from so many different locations that my biggest fear is overloading him with too much to think. And that comes back to that whole clarity thing and eliminating those shades of gray in that defensive scheme. Can he give Micah Parsons multiple opportunities in that blitzing package without slowing him down thinking too much?
No, and you're so good on those calls on Sundays for Fox when you're in the booth and you can analyze that so quickly. I think it was really cool for us in Hard Knocks. We see this great play by Micah Parsons and then Dan Quinn saying, hey, you know, sometimes you got to let other guys do it and you push them inside. And that's actually better for our team, which is that next level analysis, which I think he'll get and he'll learn with more and more experience. But it is hard. I mean, I'm going through these names, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Gallup. All these guys are young and they're so talented. And then you have the offensive line kind of coming back together. You were a three-time Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys. You still are a three-time Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys. This team has not been to an NFC championship game, the round before the Super Bowl, since 1996, January 96. How great would it be for that city, for that market, for Jerry Jones, the owner, for this young group of Cowboys to come together and actually fulfill all the expectations they have on them this year?
It'd be amazing. You know, I remember it when we came to Dallas in 1989, some of the older guys who were there back in the heyday, you know, late 70s, early 80s, talked to us about what this town is like when you start winning. And, you know, when you start out 1-15, you wonder how long it's going to be before you have that opportunity to experience it. And 3 years later, we've climbed to the top of the mountain and it was just like everybody said. I mean, this town was unbelievable. Businesses thrive on Sunday. Yeah. You know, they won't close down until after midnight. If you're a local restaurant, a food delivery service, Sunday becomes one of your biggest days if the Cowboys win that game. So it's unbelievable what will happen to this town, to the area here in North Texas and the DFW area, if Dallas can reach those goals that you talked about. So I hope they have the opportunity to experience it. You know, it was interesting when we came in the 90s, there was so much success with the Cowboys organization back in the 70s. And you heard about Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson and Randy White and all those great players that were part of those great teams. And here we are trying to cut our own path to honor the legacy of what those teams did for the franchise, but to do something unique for our group. And we've been waiting for that next group of Cowboys to come along and do it. I think you ask a lot of people here. I think it was going to be the Romo Witten.
I thought it was. I thought Romo Witten, T.O., they'd get one. You know, I thought.
Everybody did. But there's so much more that goes into it. And, you know, now continuing to wait, is this going to be the group? Is it going to be a group led by Dak Prescott? Is it going to be the group that has the talent that you just marked off on this roster on both sides of the football? That's what the city has been waiting for a long, long time to see. So I really do hope that these guys have an opportunity to start trending that way this season and really start to build on a good second year under Mike McCarthy.
I'll wrap with this. In the pregame conversation from episode 2, we see Mike McCarthy talking with Cliff Kingsbury, and Cliff says, Dak Prescott just seems like a stud human being, which is like the coolest thing to describe someone, a stud human being. You played with Troy Aikman. You were there watching nearby when Romo was there. Dak Prescott as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys to wear that star. It's almost like playing shortstop for the Yankees or whatever, the center for the Montreal Canadiens. Like, Dak Prescott, as many times as you've interacted with him, doing those Fox games, just being in the market, is this guy as great as he seems as far as being the face of not only the Cowboys, but potentially the face of the NFL? It seems like this is the young man that we should be hanging our hats on. He comes across like such a leader and such a wonderful ambassador for the sport. No,
absolutely, without a doubt. That word intangibles gets thrown around quite a bit. I think that Dak Prescott is one of the guys that epitomizes those qualities that everybody talks about, especially at the quarterback position. You want people to follow you as a leader because of that aura that you have, that thing, the it. And he definitely has that. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see. One of the things that Coach McCarthy talked about that he really doesn't have in place right now is just the preparation, the week leading up to the game, getting everything done. And, you know, he's been very blessed. You know, he was with the 49ers when Joe Montana was there. Obviously, he was in Green Bay with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And so he's been a part of practices and preparation where there's very little mistakes, very few footballs on the ground. He told us, you know, 7-on-7 team drills. Sometimes it wasn't a football on the ground, and the practice becomes really efficient. And he says, when you have a franchise quarterback, it's not just about performance on Sunday. It's the preparation and the detail Monday through Saturday. And I think he really feels that he has that same thing that he's experienced at other places with Dak Prescott. And that's been the challenging thing for him now, because Dak hasn't been a part of the complete practices. So he doesn't have that efficiency. And that's been a little bit frustrating for him. So I know that he's excited to get to week one and really see the impact that Dak has on the preparation and the efficiency of practice from Monday through Saturday. Flip it around. They're going to be playing on Thursday night. So from Friday to Wednesday, getting ready for that Thursday night game. I think that that's something he's really excited about, and to see where the team is in that next step of understanding how hard it is to win a football game and what you have to do in your preparation leading up to that game.
They've got a lot of superstars. They've got the right young leader under center, and it does seem like they have the defense coming together. We might say it every August, but Moose, I feel pretty good about this Cowboys team as we head towards September, and I feel really great that you would come on the Hard Knocks podcast and join me here. This was awesome. Thank you so much. Moose, where can we find you during the season? What's week one for you? Fox, what game will you be on?
Week one, we've got Minnesota at Cincinnati. So good. We've got the return of Joe Burrow. Excited for that one. So that's going to be good. And then we've got Saints at Panthers week two. So following that, trying to see who the heir apparent to Drew Brees is going to be.
It'll be great. One of the best analysts in the game and one of the best dudes. He was blocking for Emmett Smith for years, and now he's joining us on the podcast. Moose, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure. Good catching up.
Moose is great, and he knows Jerry Jones well, like really well. After all, he's Cowboys royalty. But Jerry isn't one of these owners who only talks to the legends or who parachutes in here and there when it's convenient. No, Jerry helicopters. And he's on the ground every day, letting his voice be heard. He's still very much involved. We join the Cowboys owner on a helicopter ride as he flies above Dallas, and he tells us the importance of preseason games. We get going with Jerry, but then he realizes, wait a second, there's been a snafu. We go back, and we get his son, Steven, who's part of the front office as well.
The thing that I like the most about the uniqueness of preseason games is you really see players get to play, early younger players that get to play, and you get to see them at their competitive best because they're trying to make this cut, trying to make this team.
Hey, sir. He said come back and get Steven.
Go back and get Steven.
Can we?
Okay, sure we can.
Okay.
Absolutely we can. Why not just start the day fucking it up? If this is an indication of how the day's going to go out here, and we can't even get everybody on the helicopter to get out. We're going back to pick Steven up. Starting off here with pre-snap penalties.
I think everybody's going to be playing on offense except for Zeke and Dak tonight.
You can circle the stadium.
Okay, sir.
This will be the largest crowd the Cowboys have played in front of in almost 2 years. That stadium looks better than 12 years ago when we opened it up.
I think it does too.
Balbi no tiene relevo, me sobra dinero, respeto y los huevos. Y'all do it. You ready for some football?
We like to give an MVP award out each week, and we could have gone a bunch of different ways here. We met a lot of new players, but I think the MVP this week is Trevon Diggs' four-year-old son, Aiden. Dressed to the nines and as cute as could be, this guy steals every scene he is on camera. And in the particular beginning one where we're with Diggs and he's FaceTiming his star wide receiver brother, Stephon, and they're with their mother, it's all great. But Aiden is the absolute scene stealer. Hey, four-year-old Aiden, take it away, will ya?
You ready for football?
Yep, I'm ready to play.
You gonna play flag?
No, I'm playing tackle.
There you go.
What's your touchdown dance?
The robot. Oh. You know what I think? I think they're gonna give you a flag for excessive celebration.
What jersey did you bring?
What number is it? Who that is?
Patrick Mahomes.
No, what jersey did you bring? Who you been waiting to meet?
Patrick Mahomes.
Dak.
Why are you being silly?
That first comes. Oh, I'm really a little bit of confused.
Each week, I like to give you something that I'm watching for next week. See, in Dallas, most of the positions on the roster are relatively established. We know who the stars are, and we can kind of fill it in who's going to be playing what. But there's one position that has not been decided. It's the backup quarterback position. And that really matters for the 2021 Dallas Cowboys. You see, Andy Dalton, last year's backup, is now in Chicago as their starting quarterback. And in the coming week, we are going to have to figure out who Dak's backup quarterback will be. Is it going to be Garrett Gilbert? Is it going to be Cooper Rush? Or will it be the chess-playing Ben DiNucci? Hopefully, we won't have to see any of them during the 2021 regular season. And that's it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. This show was produced by HBO Sports and NFL Media. Make sure to check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO for exclusive clips from training camp all week long. You can access even more Hard Knocks content on NFL.com. And as always, listeners, we want to hear from you. So tweet me at pschrags. That's pschrags. Give us your feedback. Maybe there's something or someone you'd like to learn more about, or there's a particular guest that you'd like to hear on the show. Give us a shout online. We will try to make that happen. I'm your host, Peter Schrager. This was produced by Grant Rutter and Trey Booty. Make sure to stream the next episode of Hard Knocks on Tuesday on HBO Max. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Thanks for listening.